Do you ever feel like you really messed up? Maybe that you wouldn't be welcome after you messed up? Maybe that you couldn't be forgiven, or somebody told you that? And then when you arrived, you were welcomed and the doors were thrown open and you were shown mercy? Hang on to that feeling. James talks about that, and we're going to talk about it some more in just a minute.
Before you.
Conserve us with your love.
Bless us with your sustaining presence.
Surround us with your grace.
Draw us around your living word.
And bind us to one another as disciples of Christ.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to be in union with Christ and with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you're saying to us. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The second chapter of the book of James begins with James outlining an example of playing favorites and warning us that we are not to play favorites. The example he gives is of the rich and poor members of that congregation, that if we show deference to those who are wealthy or of higher social standing and push those who are of lower social standing or of not great means aside, he equates it with committing adultery or murder. If you violate any one of the commands, you violated them all, he says. What is the commandment that we are to follow? Well, it comes just before the reading you heard from the lectionary. He says, "You then would do well to complete the royal rule of the Scriptures." What is the royal rule of the Scriptures? Love your neighbor as yourself. He got that from his Bible, the same place Jesus got it, from the Hebrew Bible. To love your neighbor as yourself, which I assume means that we're not simply talking about wealthy and poor or people of high standing, people of low standing within a society. We are talking about black folks and white folks. We're talking about immigrants and native born. We're talking about gay and straight. This applied to his particular setting at his particular time. And now we apply it to our particular setting at our particular time. Because you see, as he sums it all up, we can have all the faith in the world, but if that isn't lived out in acts of mercy, then what kind of faith is it? What is it worth? Mercy trumps judgment. If you show no mercy, he argues, you will receive no mercy. If you show mercy, then and only then will you receive mercy. In a little while, we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer as part of our communion service. And in essence, he's paraphrasing that part of the prayer that says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." That's what it means. We say trespasses, we say debts. We're talking about sins. A while back, one of the pastors at Belmont United Methodist Church, Pam Hawkins, you may have heard about this on the news, read about it in the papers, did a service for two of her parishioners who happened to be of the same gender. Because of our rules within the United Methodist Church, she was brought upon charges. There was what we call in our discipline a just resolution. She was suspended for 90 days without pay, suspended from her ministerial duties. As a part of that just resolution, the district superintendent will have hearings at various churches to hear the pain of those of our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters who have been rejected by church and hurt by church. One of those hearings will be here, as a matter of fact, on October 4th. A short while ago, there was a gathering of clergy for inclusion here at West End. And there were presented petitions from Belmont United Methodist to change the language in our discipline. And the effect of the change of this language would be to truly treat our LGBT brothers and sisters as people of sacred worth, which means that it would change the fact that we now do not ordain gay and lesbian people. It would change the fact that now United Methodist clergy cannot do certain part of wedding services for same-sex couples. And those services cannot take place in our churches, which I have been told means on our property. I'm going to recommend that we make these available to West End members who would support that, to sign on with Belmont in order for these petitions to be sent to General Conference next April, in the hope that that language could change. Now, I know not everybody agrees with me on this. You don't have to agree with me. I bet over the past 5.5 years, there might have been even one or two things that you haven't agreed with me on, huh? That's okay. But as your pastor, I feel obliged to give you the best I have and the best I know, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. Because I'm going to recommend to Ministry Table that we make these petitions available for us to be supportive of those changes, those of us who choose to. I have four reasons, really. The first are kind of heady. The first one is very heady. And that is that we have two sacraments in the United Methodist Church. We have baptism and we have Holy Communion. And we do not restrict anyone from taking part in those. Most of our baptisms happen when people are too young for us to know what their sexual orientation is going to be, or pretty much anything else. They are loved before they even know it, purely and simply because they are children of God, people of sacred worth. When we invite folks to the table a little bit later, Erin will invite you to the table. She won't say, okay, anyone who's straight here can come, but if you're gay, you can't come. No, we welcome all to this table. Following the example of Jesus, we welcome all. It's interesting to me, however, and doesn't really make sense, that while we do not restrict the two rituals that we consider to be sacraments, we do restrict two rituals that we do not consider to be sacraments, ordination and marriage. That to me makes no sense at all. You would think the sacrament would be more restrictive than the non-sacrament, but that's not the way we have seen it in the past. Reason number two. Did you know that our Board of Discipleship cannot produce resources to help LGBT youth deal with their sexuality or their faith or anything else because of the language of our discipline? Money cannot be spent to help young people who are struggling, whose suicide rate is much higher than the general population, because of the restrictive language in our own discipline. Are we not called to minister to all people? That doesn't make sense to me. Number three, reason number three. The Sunday morning after the Supreme Court decision making same-sex marriage available to all states, I received an email from a church member, and I have permission to tell this story. That church member began the email, "I understand that you cannot conduct the service, but can you refer me to someone who can, because this individual and his longtime partner were getting married." I got back and I said, well, actually, there are parts of the service I can do without that being a chargeable offense. I can say a prayer. I can tell a story or preach a homily. I can read scripture. If the time works out, and if you want that, I'm willing to do that. But I can also refer you to someone who can do the whole service. A little later in the day, however, this individual got back and said, could we have the service in the chapel? And I knew the answer. Because of the wording of the discipline, the answer was no. I just didn't want to give that answer. That afternoon, I talked with my district superintendent. She was very sympathetic, but she can't change the rules any more than I can. So late that night, I got back to say, if it were up to me, that would be fine, but our rules don't allow for that. Not the local church's rules, but the rules of the general church do not allow for that. Now, over the past 40 years, I have done hundreds of weddings. I have done weddings for people I knew would never darken the church door again. I have done weddings for people who had never darkened the church door before. I had done weddings for people who were on the rolls because their parents had been or their grandparents had been. I had done weddings for people I hoped would find a way into the congregation who did not. And this individual is someone who is here at worship every week, who serves the church in a variety of ways, significant ways, who serves on committees, who helped us raise $4.7 million last year to care for this building, and I had to say, no, you cannot have your service in this building. And then Nancy and I, when a child is baptized, one of us will stand over here and we will ask those parents, will you resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And that convicts me. Would you not consider that an injustice? If it were to be applied to you or your child or your brother or sister, would you not consider that to be an injustice? And yet I promise to resist that. The only problem is, you see, the state cannot require me to violate my conscience or my theological understanding. They can't require me to do that. I don't care what a bunch of legislators say. They can't do that. But my church does it regularly. My church requires me to violate my personal convictions, my conscience, and my theological understanding. And who we say we are as a congregation. It starts getting personal at that point, doesn't it? Finally, and this is very personal for me. Some of you know this, others of you won't. As a young man, I married and then divorced. Later, of course, you know, I married Margaret. We have children. If I had been divorced at a different time in the life of the Methodist Church, I would have had to surrender my orders on the spot. I would no longer be a pastor. In fact, I would have had to surrender my membership. Think of that, those of you who are divorced. Think of that, those of you who have parents or children or brothers or sisters who are divorced. I would have had to relinquish my membership. Because you see, Jesus says a whole lot about divorce. He doesn't say anything about homosexuality. He says a whole lot about divorce, and you know what? It's pretty harsh. Thank God I experienced mercy. I experienced the mercy of God. I experienced the mercy of my district superintendent. I experienced the mercy of my bishop. I experienced the mercy of the congregation I was serving at the time, who surrounded me and my former spouse with great love and support. I was shown that kind of mercy. How can I withhold mercy from anyone else I was given a second chance. And what came out of that second chance? Well, I would not have had Margaret. I would not have had Sarah. I would not have had Elizabeth. And I would not have had you. Because you see, I would have had to surrender my orders, and there would have been no possibility that I would ever serve this congregation. Now, for some of you, that would have been a great blessing for you. But you have been a great blessing for me, and I would have missed that had my church not shown mercy to me. So how can I, in turn, not extend mercy to others? You heard what James said. Those who show no mercy will receive no mercy. Ow. I don't know about you, but when I stand at the throne of grace, I'm going to be throwing myself on the mercy of the court, because I'm going to need all the mercy I can get. But how about us who do show mercy? If we say we have faith but do not have works, what good is our faith, James says. If we play favorites with one group and shun another, it's like committing adultery or murder, James says. And if we don't show mercy, well, you heard it already. So that's why I'm recommending that ministry table make available to those who wish to sign the petitions from Belmont United Methodist Church to change the language in our discipline, to be consistent with the statement we make there that all people are of sacred worth. All people, no exception, are of sacred worth. I know some of you won't agree with that. That's okay. But I felt like as family, I needed to let you know why I'm making that choice. And after all, we are all family. All of us.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather in worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. If you're a college student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and a time of fellowship and faith discussions after church. You will meet in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to the right, and then you will walk to lunch. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a staff member to contact you about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared or to remain confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find at the end of the pew near the center aisle, down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the family of Margaret Lowe, who died on Tuesday, September 1st. A service was held here yesterday, September 5th. Among her survivors are West End members, her mother and father, Whitson and Sandy Lowe, and her brothers, John and Mark Lowe. Freely, freely, we have received. Freely, freely, may we give back to God. Out of our blessings, may we be blessings to others. be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right,
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken and given in love for us, that our brokenness might be made whole. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, poured out in love for you and for me, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. The table set before us is open to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ or who wish to do so. Please come. All things are ready. In our Methodist tradition, this is an open table, and everyone is invited to share in the foretaste of Christ's heavenly banquet. This month's communion offering will be to benefit West End's prison ministries. Numerous members of the West End community are serving alongside ministries that serve incarcerated individuals and their families, both during and after the time of their incarceration. In addition to purchasing Bible study curriculum this past year, these funds have been also used to purchase shampoo for Christmas gifts for the men housed at Riverbend Maximum Security Institution. They've also helped to purchase rain ponchos for the women at Tennessee Prison for Women. When you only earn an average of 20 cents per hour, and the cost of shampoo at the commissary is $4, and the cost of ponchos is $6.50, these contributions are truly gifts to these men and women. Please note the directions printed in the bulletin for communion. As you come forward to the communion rail, please hold out your hands to receive the elements. You may remain at the railing as long as you wish to pray. If you would like to receive the elements in your pew, please let one of the ushers know by raising your hand when the choir comes forward. Please come. All is ready. Would you stand as you're able? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Go forth in mercy and peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.